Generally, I see cars parked on the lot. Tonight, they're empty. We're coming down 7th Street. Where are all the cars? Where is everybody? Guess what? I appreciate the fact that you're here tonight, and more so, I know that the Lord is appreciative of the fact that you're here tonight. I don't know about you, but sometimes during the night, it seems like it gets to be habit sometimes. I don't have any problem going to sleep. But about 3 hours later, I wake up, and then I begin to think about this, and I think about that. And finally, to get that off of my mind, I will sing a hymn. Not out loud, but I sing it. To finally get my mind off of what I'm thinking about. Years ago, Brother G.C. Brewer, who was a great gospel preacher back in Memphis, Tennessee, had a sermon that was called Songs in the Night, and he used a number of hymns to bring out the lesson that he had prepared for that particular occasion. And as I was thinking after Brother Don's lesson this morning, as he brought out that God is King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, He is above all, above everything. And yet at the same time, I realize that there are a number of different attributes that we can give to God as given to us in the Scriptures. Not only is God King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not only is He the one to whom we are going to give an account in the Day of Judgment, but He is also spoken of as not only our Creator, but as our Shepherd. And, of course, when the sermon was announced this morning for this evening, Green Pastures, I wondered if perhaps if some of you were thinking, and I imagine some of you thought, of Psalms 23. And certainly it is one of the psalms that many people find a great deal of comfort in. Comfort to the extent that we not only know God as our Creator, not only that we know Him as our Judge, not only as we know Him as our lawgiver, but also that He is our shepherd. And because He is our shepherd, there are a number of things that we can think about that bring great comfort to us. Having been born and raised on a farm back in Nebraska, I can remember in the springtime when the pastures would green up, and the livestock was out in the field, and I could see them out in the field grazing, or out in the pasture as they were grazing. And I would often think, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And always that scene, and I think it's true with you too, whenever you see a scene like that, of course it wasn't sheep that we had, it was cattle. And as I would look out across those green pastures and see those cattle grazing in the green grass, it would remind me, He leadeth me. Where does He lead me? Into green pastures. And in those green pastures, there I will find all of the nourishment, everything that I would possibly need. And I think because of that, the serenity of the scene, that people love this particular psalm, the 23rd psalm. So, as I visualize what David is saying in the 23rd psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was reading about a little girl who got up and she was quoting this particular verse, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, why should I care? Now you think about that for a moment. At first you might think, well, that's not very nice of her to say that. But then you stop and think. Well, if the Lord is your shepherd, why should you care? I mean, he's taking care of you. He's taking care of your needs. And I'm sure that's the way that she meant it. Of course, we could take it the other way also. And so, when we come down to this 23rd Psalm, and knowing him as our shepherd, we can go over to the 103rd Psalm. And in the 103rd Psalm, David also speaks of the Lord as being our shepherd in such a way that, he just amplifies what he has already said. In regard to God, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So when we think of him as being our shepherd, we think of him, yes, he's a God of compassion. He's a shepherd that is concerned about all of our needs. The Bible uses a number of illustrations to talk about relationships that we have with God. I think of the relationship of a husband and a wife that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. He says, I have espoused you unto one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Talking about our relationship with God. Paul says, you became children of God. I espoused you unto one husband that I might present you what? As a chaste virgin to Christ. And of course in Ephesians the 5th chapter, he talks about the husband-wife relationship when he says that Christ is the head of the church. And as the church is in subjection to Christ, even so wives ought to be to their own husbands. And then he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then he goes on to say that we have become one flesh, husband and wife. And he said, now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What's the relationship that he's developing here? It's the idea that we, as Christians, are the bride of Christ. Other relationships that are given throughout the scriptures, like the father-son relationship, but if we're truly going to understand in regard to these relationships, we need to understand about shepherds and sheep. A number of years ago, I was reading an article by a Basque shepherd, B-A-S-Q-U-E, and the Basque shepherds are known for shepherding. Very knowledgeable, very understanding of sheep, and so forth. But the thing that impressed me about it was that the Basque shepherd got to know each one of his sheep. How did he get to know each one of his sheep? He even had a name for them. And sometime during the day, he would call that sheep. And that sheep knew its name. And that sheep would come and spend, I don't know how much time, but spend some moments with the shepherd. That way the shepherd got to know the sheep got to know the shepherd. And when you understand the relationship that was developed between the shepherd and the sheep, then you begin to understand, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what's he going to do? He's going to make me lie down in green pasture. And so, he's more than a royal monarch, he's more than a lawgiver, more than the creator, he wants to be known as our shepherd. And then he goes ahead to say, I shall not want. You know, God dwells up in the heavens. In fact, he dwells everywhere. But we hear of him as our Father who art in heaven. And as he looks down upon the earth, what does he see? Does he see you as an individual? Does he see me as an individual? Or does he just see us as a whole group of individuals? All of those human beings down there, just one? No. He recognizes each one of us. And since he recognizes each one of us, we can surely say that he sees each one. Like sometimes, you know, you look out there and you see the forest. But the forest is made up of what? Well, it's made up of individual trees. And sometimes I think that we visualize God as saying, well, I see the whole bunch of you, but I don't see you as an individual. But that's not true. He knows the very thoughts that are in each one of our minds. He knows these things. He knows if one hair falls out of your head. And so he sees us as an individual among a group of individuals. And so God is mindful of the concerns that we have. He's mindful of each person. He cares for me. He supplies my needs. He hears my prayers. And so as we turn to number 642 as our first hymn tonight.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me. The quiet waters lie. My soul he does restore again. And he
number 22. Many songs we have within our hymn books have a message, and most of those messages have come from various passages of Scripture. And of course, the concept, the idea behind singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is to draw our minds closer to God and the message. And sometimes, you know, we get into a pattern of doing things, and if you're like I am, I have to discipline myself and bring my body into subjection, lest, you know, I'm off here thinking about something else. And doing a lesson like this hopefully will help us when we're singing or whenever the lesson is being given, is to remember the message and not be dwelling on other things. And so when we sing that song, and when we think about what David said in the 23rd Psalm, that he wasn't going to walk because he knew the Lord was his shepherd, and he knew the Lord was going to lead him into the green pastures beside the still waters. And as a result of that, his soul could be at rest. Rest because why? Because he had assurance. He trusted in God. It's more like Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. Able to do what? To do that which he has committed unto me against that day. What was Paul talking about? Well, he was talking about the fact that God had called him to be a minister of the gospel. And he had committed his life to the Lord. And as a result of that, he says, I know, there's no question in his mind, I know in whom I have believed. And because of that, I'm persuaded that he is able to do that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so what is the Lord doing here? The Lord is leading us. And as we sing number 22, all the way, even to the end of life, the Savior is leading us.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask His Son? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine comfort, here my faith. Thank you. Jesus, let me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus, let me all the way.
I don't know whether you noticed it or not as we were singing the words of this song, how it fits so well with that 23rd Psalm. What's he doing? The Lord is leading me. Where is he leading me? Well, he's leading me so that I'm not going to get thirsty. In gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And this my song through endless ages, what it's going to be, because Jesus led me all the way, not just part of the way. And so far, the shepherd's care for the sheep that he has, I think it's a fitting illustration of God's concern for his children, each one. Again, I want to remind us to think of it in an individual sense, not selfishly. He's just thinking of me. He doesn't care about you. No, I want you to know that God thinks of you as an individual. He cares for you, and he cares for every other individual. And so as a result of that, we certainly can say, all the way my Savior leads me. There's something else that we need to understand, and that is like sheep. Now, we got a shepherd, and that shepherd is taking care of our needs. We also realize that we're sheep. And what do sheep do? They go astray. Jesus talked about it when he talked about the 99 sheep that were in the fold and the one sheep that went astray. He talks about it in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, that he's the good shepherd. And he talks about the sheep, and he talks about his relationship with those sheep. And thus, when we consider the fact that we as sheep go astray. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, I believe it's verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid upon him, that is upon Jesus, the iniquities of us all. Sheep going astray. And so, what does the Lord himself do? Well, he talks about it in Matthew, the 9th chapter. He talks about it in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Illustrations that he uses in regard to his sheep. And like physical sheep, they need a shepherd. They need to be led. And of course, in the time of Christ, and even today over in Israel, in that part of the world, they have many sheep, many shepherds, and those shepherds are leading their sheep. And so the Lord has given him, Jesus, as our shepherd to lead us. And the thing that he wants to do in regard to all of this is, but he's out there. He's seeking those sheep, even as he was seeking the one lost sheep. And a song that readily brings this out is number 571, Seeking the Lost.
Seeking the lost, yes, kindly and patient, wanderers on the mountains of sway. Come unto me, his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today. Going afar along the mountain, bringing the one. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus. souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path to life evermore. Glory to God.
Number 574 will be the next hymn.
564.
Five what? Oh, 64, yes. Thank you. So what is Jesus doing? Being our shepherd, he wants to bring other sheep into the fold. When you turn over to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus there speaks concerning himself as being the good shepherd, and then there he said there are those shepherds that are out there, they're hirelings. All they're in it for is to get out of it what they can get for themselves. They're not really that much concerned about the sheep or the one that has gone astray, or even trying to bring sheep into the flock. And so as we read him saying, beginning in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door unto the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Now, get that point there. He calls his own sheep what? By name. There, that individual concept is again, not only is it an individual concept, but it shows the intimate relationship that exists. He knows you by name. He goes before them. Well, where is he taking them? He goes before them because he's going to take them into the green pastures and beside the still waters. And so he goes before them. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep do what? They follow him. Well, why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. And again, that when I tell you about the masked shepherd, that's what they do. He called the name, and they come. They know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. Now, why is it that way? It's because of a relationship, a very close relationship. And when we have that close of a relationship with the Savior, we're going to have the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world can never give you. It's only a peace that God can give you. And so when you go to sleep at night, you know who your shepherd is, and you know his voice, and you know there are some other voices out there, but you know they're not the true shepherd. And he talks about the hireling. He says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, and he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees, why? Because he's a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. And then in verse 14 he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become the one flock with one shepherd. And when I, again, consider the words that were spoken in here by the Lord himself. I know my sheep know me. But he says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. And to understand that, we need to understand that Jesus was talking at that time to the Jews of his day, because they were the sheep. Christian age had not yet started. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, they're out there. They're lost. But he says, I must bring them also. Bring them to do what? To make them one flock. And so, 564 is the next song. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. A tree that can do
number 417. As he promised, and as David spoke, and as Jesus has spoken, as well as many other scriptures, we need to be led into green pastures. As I was speaking last Sunday afternoon, it was last Sunday afternoon, kiss his funeral? I was in Israel, and I stood upon the mountain, and I looked, and I saw the green valleys. And I looked to the south, and I saw the brown, dry desert, the Negev. There isn't much food down there in that Negev, being a dry area. But there were those green pastures. And I could look down and see those green pastures with the sheep grazing. And as I was thinking in preparation for this particular lesson, that we need to be led into green pastures. Why do we need to be led there? Well, it's just not a matter of going down there to feed. We need to go down there in that pasture to walk with him, to talk with him. And when we sing number 417, "My God and I," again, think about it as we, let's stand as we sing this morning.